Coming up to 10 past 8 on 2HD, Wednesday morning with Richard King. Well, the Turnbull government faces something of an uphill battle getting states to sign up to its new energy plan. Labor premiers, I think, roundly savaged it and described it as a capitulation to Tony Abbott and a victory for the coal industry. The federal government's going to need all the national electricity market states, New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, South Australia, Tasmania and the ACT, to agree to its national energy guarantee to implement it. The plan to force energy companies to meet mandated standards of reliability and emissions reduction will require changes to national electricity law, which is state-based legislation that sets the rules for the market. With more on that, joining me now is the federal member for Shortland. He's a local, and he's also the a Labor frontbencher and Assistant Minister for Climate Change and Energy. Pat Conroy is the man. He's on the line. Good morning, Pat.
Morning, Richard. How are you?
Good, thanks. And yourself?
Good, thank you.
Yes. None of this is going to kick until 2020. Suggestions that the average household will save about $110 to $115 a year. I think some members of your party are suggesting it could be like 10 or 15 cents a day. Your thoughts on the new energy guarantee as outlined by the government yesterday, Pat?
Well, it's pretty shambolic, to be honest. This is the third energy policy the Prime Minister's suggested in the last 10 months, so it's hard to really get to grips with it at this stage. We've said we'll wait and see the details and then we'll make a decision, but I've got to pick you up on those figures. The government's been brandishing this $100, $115 savings. The man they've based it on, John Pearce, head of the Markets Commission, has said it could be as low as $25 a year, so that's 50 cents a week. And more importantly, they haven't actually done any modelling. What they've done is looked at the old modelling for different schemes and said, well, this sort of looks like that, so we think this is how much it'll save. It's just policy making on the run, and I think the nation deserves better than that.
A reliability guarantee. I mean, as you said, there's not a lot of detail. A reliability guarantee seems like a term they've plucked out of the air, Pat.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a focus both for their continuing obsession with keeping coal-fired power in the system as long as possible and a, to be fair, legitimate concern about how we maintain reliability in the system. We'll look at the details and see whether there's any merit to it, and there may well be. At the moment, the only thing we've got to go on is an 8-page letter. So it's early days, and I think the key thing with all of this is we need to find a bipartisan consensus on energy policy. We've had 7 coal-fired power stations retire because they're very old in the last 4 years, and no reliable dispatchable replacement because we've got massive investment uncertainty. Until we fix the political knife fight in Canberra, investors won't put their hand in their pocket and invest in new power plants.
Well, and the fact that under this new national energy guarantee, wind, solar and hydro will no longer be subsidised, that, do you think, will affect investment in the industry?
Well, the government's own analysis, such as it is, says that this means that renewable energy will only grow by as little as 4% over the next decade. 4% over the next decade, which is way too low. We need to cut carbon emissions in our economy, and we need to get prices down, and renewable energy is an answer for both those things, complemented with things like gas and remaining coal-fired power stations to make sure there's reliability. But having renewables grow by 4% in 12 years is unacceptable. That just won't enable us to meet our Paris reduction targets.
Now, I mentioned earlier, it would appear that most of the Labor state governments have come out and roundly criticised this, but as I understand it, the federal government does need the cooperation of the states to actually get this off the ground. Is that right, Pat?
Yeah, they need agreement by COAG, and they need legislation passed in the parliaments of all the East Coast states and South Australia, and they also need legislation passed in the federal parliament around the Paris targets. So they're going to... It's an interesting political choice. Instead of negotiating with the federal Labor opposition on the clean energy target, they said, well, actually, we're going to negotiate with all the states and then the federal Labor opposition as well. So it's a politically courageous decision, I must say.
All right, and getting rid of the clean energy target, what do you think the impact will be there?
Well, it's very frustrating because we were willing to compromise on the clean energy target. It wasn't our policy and it wasn't perfect, but it would have ended the the political knife fight, and Malcolm Turnbull said it would work, and Josh Frydenberg, the energy minister, said it would have saved the average household about $160 a year. So it's very frustrating that we're supposed to have been working on this and negotiating this for the last 2 months, and Malcolm Turnbull's capitulated to Tony Abbott in his party room, realised he can't get anything through his party room that has clean energy in it, and now we've got a third model to look at. So it's appalling policy making, but we've said we'll look at it, and if it's got merit, then we'll consider backing it, because that's what the national interest requires us to do.
16 past 8 on 2HD. My guest, Labor frontbencher, he's a local, the federal member for Shortland, and also the opposition's assistant minister on energy and climate change, Pat Conroy. Pat, okay, I'll give you a free kick here. And if you were putting forward the policy, what changes would you be making to what we heard yesterday?
Well, I'd support a straightforward emissions intensity scheme. That's our policy, and that basically says that each generator has to get their emissions down each year to meet our targets. That would have allowed us to meet our Paris reduction targets. It would have ensured that we would have got over 50% renewables in the system in a reliable way. And it would have meant many more jobs in the renewable energy sector, lower power prices, and it's been endorsed by all the energy companies, the energy consumers, the business groups, the unions. So I still think that's the best policy. What we're looking at now, the National Energy Guarantee, is a sort of roundabout way of getting towards that, but it's very weak because it's been forced to go through the coalition party room. I would have stuck with an emissions intensity scheme, which most of the experts said is the way to go.
All right, and as you said at the start, there's not a great deal of detail at this stage, is there?
No. More detail will come up in the next month as we head towards the COAG Energy Ministers meeting, and we've said we'll engage with that. And we'll make a decision based on the national interest, because we have to end this political bickering in Canberra. We must do it. We're not sure whether this is the scheme that we'll do it, but we'll approach it with an open mind, because, as I said, national interest dictates us ending this knife fight.
Good to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Pat.